Hi, I'm Eugene. I'm an alcoholic. I was asked to speak about 90 seconds ago. So,
he gets credit for that one.
I didn't prepare anything. But I think I'll just sort of start at the beginning. For me, the beginning was when I was 5. I was 5 years old when I had my first drink. I stole a bottle of creme de menthe, I think, from my parents' liquor cabinet. And I drank a lot of it. And I threw up, and then I hid the bottle in my room so I could do it again. So, and then I ate a bunch of toothpaste because I think that probably also contributed to throwing up. But I did that because I wanted to mask the smell. You know, at 5 years old, I already knew to hide my drinking. And that would become sort of a feature of my drinking throughout my life. The first casualty of alcoholism, at least in my life, has always been honesty. And so I started lying right away. but I didn't, I don't know what happened much after that. I don't remember my next drink until I was about 11, when my mother got remarried. My mother divorced my father when I was 6. And I didn't see him again for about 3 years. My father probably belonged in this program. He spent most of his life unemployed, occasionally homeless, occasionally in prison. And I would go very long stretches without seeing him as a child. My mother remarried when I was 9 or 11 or something. I guess I must have been about 11. And I got drunk at that wedding. And I remember asking for more champagne and mom saying it was okay. What the hell? My mother never really drank. And then I don't remember drinking again really until I about graduated from college. I went through this phase where I was very religious and I was very self-righteous. And for whatever reason, I decided that alcohol was a sin. And that, I think, while I was an insufferable little bastard, I think that that saved me a lot of grief in my life because I didn't start drinking until I was much older. I started really drinking when I was about 21. Much older. But compared with a lot of the people in these rooms, you know, who say, well, I was a daily drunk at 14, you know, I didn't do that. And so, you know, I graduated from college and I got accepted into graduate school. And that was when I started drinking. And graduate school allowed me to prolong my adolescence almost interminably. And I started drinking very heavily in graduate school. And within a couple of years, I was drinking, you know, 2 bottles of wine a day, and then that wasn't enough, so it was a bottle of whiskey a day and sometimes more. And I wasn't really doing my work. And I spent 10 years in a doctoral program. And I'm still just astonished that I didn't get thrown out. My advisor was so codependent, and he saw something that he liked in me, and he was willing to put up with all of my bullshit. And I don't know why. Like, I didn't deserve that. I didn't earn that in any way. And he dragged a dissertation out of me, which is much more of a testament to his determination than mine. When I go back and look at it today, I'm like, how did they allow me to graduate with this? If a student came to me today and handed that, I wouldn't let them graduate. So, but I managed during this time to fake being functional just well enough to get married. And I married a woman who had a son, and that was a terrible, terrible idea. I was a suicide drunk, and she was the kind of person who marries a suicide drunk, and it didn't make for a good combination. And our marriage lasted about 3 years, and I got sober in the middle of it. I was so sick by this time. This is about 2007. We got married in May of 2007. And I had graduated in 2006. And I tried to start a business, by which I mean I filed paperwork to start a business, but I didn't do anything. And so I was unemployed, and fortunately I had some money from my grandfather, and so, you know, I wasn't homeless. We had food on the table, I wasn't doing anything. I was lazy and unmotivated and at the same time very self-entitled and self-aggrandized, and, you know, I kept expecting people to just show up and give me work, you know, based on the fact that I had finished this degree, and of course nobody was interested in that. No, and quite rightfully. And so we started going to a marriage counselor who I thought I was going to get permission from to have a drink from time to time, which is how I thought of it. Or at least how I thought other people thought of it. And that, you know, she of course saw right through me. And in May of 2006, I had gotten a DUI, and so I had gone through all of the things that Illinois makes you do when you get a DUI in Illinois. But I lived in Missouri, and so they couldn't take my license away, so I still had my driver's license. And finally, my marriage counselor, she sat us down one day and she looked at us and she said, "There is no hope for this marriage, unless Gene looks at his drinking." And at that point, I don't know exactly what it was that made me say okay to that, but I said okay to that. And I went back to the guy who had done the alcohol awareness program that I had had to go to when I had my DUI, who is an absolute institution. I didn't know this at the time, of course, but an absolute institution in St. Louis, AA. His name's Wes. And I walked into Wes's office, and his face kind of fell because, you know, I was really good at lying, and I had convinced everybody in the program, the training alcoholic, you know, after DUI program, whatever it was called, I had convinced everyone that I had done very well, and I'd passed with flying colors, and I said all the right things, and I wrote down all the right things, and so when I walked into Wes's office, his face kind of fell because I think he had hoped that I had gotten it, and I said, "I'm not in trouble with the law, but I think I'm in trouble with alcohol." And Wes got this big smile on his face and he went, "Great!" And I don't remember the rest of that conversation, you know? I talked to him for a while and he convinced me that I needed to do something serious. But he was in his professional environment there, and he couldn't talk about AA. And so he didn't talk about AA. He just told me that I needed to get some actual professional help. And so I went home, and I sat down. I didn't go home. I went back to the hotel. I had been thrown out by this point. And I just Googled alcoholism rehab. And I called the first number I saw. And I got a really fancy place out in Malibu, California. And I'm fancy, so I went to a really fancy place out in Malibu, California. And thank God it was run by a guy who's in this program. And so I dropped everything in my life, which wasn't much. I didn't have a lot of responsibilities at the time because no one trusted me with anything because I was deeply untrustworthy. And I went to Malibu, California for 6 or 7 weeks for intense inpatient program. And they took us to an AA meeting every day. And I remember on day 12, I was sitting there, and it was almost like it was a hallucination of just this rocks glass with about 3 fingers of bourbon in it. Bourbon was my big drink. And I could just see it floating there like a halo. And your bones are on fire. And that was my last craving. And I have been fortunate since then, since May 16th, 2008, not to have a drink. And, you know, they told me when I went home, they said, get a sponsor and go to meetings. Sorry, this will all be more apparent in a moment. And so I got a sponsor and I went to meetings. And I found a sponsor in St. Louis named Mickey, and I picked Mickey because he was the sincerest human being I had ever met in my life. When Mickey asked you how you were, you could tell he wanted to know. And he took me through the steps the way he had been taken through the steps, the way he had been taken through the steps. And I wrote for every step, and it took me a year. And and I did them in order the way they are in the book. And I have continued to stay in meetings and close to the program ever since because I'm terrified. I am terrified of what I am. And when I'm here, I'm better. My marriage didn't last. My marriage did not survive my sobriety. She told me that she wasn't ready for me to be healthy. And that's okay. You know, I'm not the person that she married now. And it took me a long time to figure out how to do the basic things you have to do to be a human being in the world, because I had never been taught those things. My mother worked all the time, and my father didn't do anything. I didn't have a father in puberty, and so I never learned the basic things that boys learn to be men. My mother did marry another man, and he just abused my sisters. And so then after he left, my mother did marry another man, and he's a good man, but we just never connected. My marriage didn't survive my sobriety, but my sobriety survived my marriage. And shortly after my divorce, I got a job in Philadelphia, and I moved lock, stock, and barrel to Philadelphia, knowing no one, knowing nothing, for a job that I wasn't actually qualified for, but had told them that I could do, because it was basically like what I do. And I did very well at that job. And the first thing I did when I moved to Philadelphia was start going to meetings. And I found a new sponsor in Philadelphia, and I spent 5 years there. And then I recently have come back to Seattle, which is where I was born, and I've started a job here that I'm not really qualified for, but I told them I'm qualified for, and I can do it. I just, there's a lot of stuff that I'm learning on the fly, and I'm very excited about it. And in the meantime, in Philadelphia, I started a new relationship with a woman who has never seen me drink, and that's wonderful. And I have learned to be the man that I was never taught to be in these rooms. And last night at 6 p.m., my father died. And he never found the things that he needed to find to be the man he could have been. And so he never taught me to be the man that I am now. I learned that here. The only thing it takes to be good at something is to be willing to be bad at it. And I have spent a lot of time being bad at things to become better at things. And when I walked in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, I did not know the first thing about how to live sober in the world. And now, 10 years later, I know how to live sober in the world. I know how to be a man in the world. I know how to do all of the things that you have to do to get up in the morning and to be effective during the day and to stay sober and to go to bed at night content. And I know that there are people in this room and in all of these rooms that are earlier on their journey and that wonder, how do you get to the point where you can live in the world without alcohol? You just have to be willing to be bad at it and keep being bad at it until you learn how to be good at it. And you do the things in this book, and you do the things that the people in these rooms do, and it gets better. Thanks.